Here's the snap to Wilson. Extends the play. Backpedals to the 40. Looking, still waiting. Hit as he lets it go into the left side of the end zone for a jump ball. And is it caught in the end zone? Touchdown!
Oh, you gotta be kidding
me. My goodness! Golden Tate.
They gotta look at it, don't they?
It was caught simultaneously. MD Jennings was there. So was Sam Shields. MD Jennings had it. And on the way down, MD Jennings still has it, it appeared. How can they take that away? Here's the call.
After further ado, the call on the field stands. Touchdown.
You've got to be kidding me.
That's unbelievable.
That is terrible. I didn't think something could be called worse than the Sam Shields interference.
That is unbelievable.
That's a travesty. That is awful.
Studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu. And we are joined, as always, by Jamie Jors and John Rahor from our fan blog, Eat More Cheese, along with the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Mr. Corey Banky, tell us, what is on tap tonight?
Joining us right now, live on the line from Yahoo Sports, Mr. Mike Silver!
How are you tonight, Michael Silver?
I'm a little sleep deprived and a little shell shocked. What a crazy, crazy scene that went down in Seattle, and still trying to process it on a lot of levels. But we know the most important thing, and that ain't changing.
That is right. The outcome will not change, according to the NFL. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, you've talked to BBC Radio today. You've talked to Rich Eisen. But finally, you're talking to the people who matter. You're talking to Packer fans directly.
That's right.
All right, so.
Because I live with two insane Packer fans, my sons, who are 13 and 10, and who apparently didn't do very well last night, I feel very tapped into the Packer fan vibe, and it's not an easy thing to go through. And I think it would have been brutal had this been a regular officiating crew and we were in a folding roll or tackle roll kind of situation. But, because of the larger overtones and because this was so avoidable, it's truly frustrating.
Frustrating doesn't even begin to capture it, of course.
Understated.
Last night, everyone, the world got to see, and Corey is showing it right now on our screen, you coming up to Aaron Rodgers and very clearly asking, what the fuck? So let me ask you, Mike Silver, what the fuck?
Well, so in that moment, obviously, I didn't know I was captured by cameras, or I would have made the F word even more audible. But I didn't know because I didn't get a great view live, and so I was picking up on Aaron's cues. I know him well enough, and he just seemed so sure that a grave injustice was being done, and so convinced that if it wasn't rectified right then, that going down the replay road was not going to give a lot of satisfaction. I mean, I think he did the math, and there's 68,000 screaming people, some very tentative officials, and a standard that rises on the overturn to, beyond a reason or whatever. Indisputable evidence. So I think he figured this is wrong, and if you don't realize this right now. I don't like where this is heading. And so I think I was asking more literally, like, what just happened, whereas he said something very similar to me, and I think his was rhetorical, I believe, you know, knowing the deal. So, yeah, first of all, yet another, you know, crazy chapter to the surreal life of Aaron Rodgers, which, continues to amaze for those of us who followed it, you know, for a long time. And obviously, something that resonated on so many levels because of the already worsening perception of the replacement officials. And really, unfortunately, I was really looking forward to writing about some of the elements of that game, which is 8 sacks in the first half. I mean, just stunning to see Aaron Rodgers under siege like that, and a lot of potential blame to go around. And then really one of the great halftime adjustment moments in recent memory, where Mike McCarthy and his staff found a way to make it work and protect him and do a lot of different things and get the ball down the field. And they deserved a lot of credit for going ahead in that game. Obviously, as you know, a lot of ridiculous calls and non-calls that followed, many of which were against the Packers, but in fairness,
cut both ways, no doubt.
And then, in the end, the staggering, play that we'll always remember, and, you know, which I hope launches a lot of things, including a focused, revived Packers team. And I don't just say that because my sons are going to their first ever pro football game on Sunday at Lambeau Field.
Yay!
So excited as a dad. Yeah. In fact, my dad, who was a Milwaukee native, is going to be there, and I'll be covering, but only spending as much time in the press box as I have to, because I want to soak it up too.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a much bigger game now. It really
yes.
is. You know,
yes, it is.
Nationally and locally, because I think we're going to see, the best of the Packer fans. And I believe that I really believe Packer fans, when it comes to professional fans, I don't like to compliment any fans except Cal fans, of which I'm a sick member, but we don't really deserve it either sometimes. But I think Packer fans are the best fans in that they're, I think it's changing, but I think there are the fewest haters among them. I think they're, by and large, the most positive towards their team relative to negative towards the other team. I think when Favre went to Minnesota, we started to see a little bit, understandably, of a darker strain, but for the most part, I feel like Packer fans are more, hey, I just want my team to do well. I'm not out to, completely trash yours. So I think we're going to see just a very supportive fan base that really understands, look, we're in a hole that maybe we don't deserve. We're playing a team that is can even beat us for martyrdom in their minds and is obviously desperate. And they don't seem to be able to stop anybody, and they've got Drew Brees. So no amount of scoring in this game is enough. And I just hope we're going to see a lot of entertaining action, and I think we'll see the best of Packer Nation sort of helping support this team, and launching it to a better place.
Absolutely. Well, I have to agree, as far as the fans are concerned,
oh, yeah.
It's hard to look at these two teams coming into Sunday, and you look at two teams that are a combined 1-5. Mm. And if you had told me that before the season, that would be the case heading into this week,
I would have punched you.
I would have said you're crazy.
Yeah.
But here it is. Yeah. And you have to think, I mean, I don't want to get too simplistic, but you have to think Rodgers is going up against a Saints defense that has looked like an absolute, shambles so far this season.
Yeah.
While
no doubt.
Drew Brees will be going up against a defense that seems to have found its stride the last two games.
Yeah, really good performance for the Packer defense. I think it's harder to judge against Russell Wilson, who is going to be an incredible story. He's a charming kid, and I'm so happy that they had a real competition, though. I did wonder during that game, wow, if you just made Matt Flynn the man and proceeded that way from the time you signed him, wouldn't you be better off in the short term in a game like this? But be that as it may, Russell Wilson, great kid, going to be a great story. But, yeah, Drew Brees obviously is a much different animal. I think the Saints defense, you know, for all the talk about Sean Payton, who they really miss not only as a play caller but as a head coach,
right?
Strategically, what they're going through is they miss Greg Williams, and not that he was not flawed toward the end, but, you know, it's a drastic schematic difference, you know, going from Greg Williams' scheme to Steve Spagnuolo's approach. And I think they were so comfortable in the former scheme, for better or worse, and now they are, you know, they're taking a while to adjust without a strong leadership structure and Peyton to fall back on. And, you know, that could kick in at some point, but I think, you have a lot of the same players who've done a lot better in recent years, and I think there's going to be a natural tendency for everybody to press. And yet the Packers can press, too, if things go bad early on. And so, you know, you don't want to get behind in this game by a significant amount.
Obviously, we have you on the show, so I have to take advantage of the fact that you are very, you know, keyed in, you're very plugged in around the NFL. Was there anyone that you talked to outside of the Seahawks organization that thought anything other than the Packers got totally screwed last night?
No, and in fact, I was out with Marshawn Lynch and his crew late, and we saw the replay finally for the first time together. And, you know, I don't want to put words in Marshawn's mouth, but I'm going to anyway since I'm here talking to Packer Faithful. And, you know, this is what I believe was his reaction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, we lost the game. And I was really proud of my team and glad that we fought back and were in that position. And it's not my fault, but now I see that justice was not served. And that's that's a pretty heavy thing. And I know that Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll have taken to the heat, and I want to believe that without having seen the replay that they weren't necessarily in position to, tone it down a little bit. Now, Golden Tate claiming not to know about the push-off. The Zapruder video does not serve him well. Back into the left. And even the league admitted that they missed that one.
I know, so it's in the statement. And yet Golden Tate is saying he doesn't know what people are talking about.
I think he'd like to have that one back. I was fighting for position. There was some contact, but look, I can't be everyone's media manager. I have enough trouble with myself dropping F bombs on national TV. So what am I going to say?
Very, very true. Mike, you're an absolute legend for joining us. I don't want to keep you too long, but one final thing. Coming off of, I guess, the travesty of last night's call, the NFL coming out with their...
Can we come up with a name? I was going with the grunge job, but I am delirious. But
well, there's a couple going around. There's the Fail Mary. I know, I've seen that.
That's great.
The Fail Mary. The Immaculate Interception.
I like the Fail Mary because that's very 2012. I'm gonna tell me who to credit. I'm gonna steal it and run it.
The Fail Mary is good, so following really the Fail Mary and then the NFL's extremely litigiously minded, thousand word release today. It's been widely reported by a couple of different people this afternoon and early this evening that the NFL is not backing off at all with their, stance against the regular refs in negotiations. Do you think this is something that goes on a couple more weeks and even into, say, late October, early November?
No, I think if they're not backing off today, that it's their faith-saving way of backing off tomorrow. Now, let me give the caveat here that I'm counting on the locked-out refs to avoid end zone dancing here, which they undoubtedly were last night, and not ram it down their throats. If they're being reasonable, and I really hope they are, and conciliatory at this point, and not trying to ram it down Danipel's throat at a vulnerable time. I do believe the league is going to settle. I just think, you know, it is, yes, this was an atrocity, and it, even before with the Sunday stuff and the Sunday night and the Belichick zebra hunting, it had become such a thing and a escalating PR nightmare that you could say in the short term, yeah, we still got leverage, people are still watching, but you're just taking away the sheen. And the NFL is so, I don't know, I don't want to use these pretentious words because I'm not really sure what I'm saying, but you know, the NFL is sort of like the fine wine, fine dining experience, right? You're seeing the best in high def, and
right,
you just presume that everything is at the highest level. And when you, it's, to me, it's not even, it's not just the bad calls, of which there are many, and obviously rising to a new standard last night, but it's the tentativeness and the hesitation, which
right,
breeds the bullying and the, you
well,
know, the
which,
working of the ref.
Which ends up feeding into all the extracurricular stuff we see after the play, the ridiculous hit by Browner on Greg Jennings last night, which should have been
right,
an ejection.
And let me add, of all the times I would rip a Bill Belichick or a Jim Harbaugh, I have zero problem with the so-called bullying because I understand. If you'll indulge me for a second, because I know you were trying to.
Go, brother. You've been up for like 48 hours. Go.
yeah, exactly. I'm having some problems with the disclaimers. You know what I'm going to say about the first one. Oh, don't take it out on these replacement refs. It's not their fault. They're just trying to do their job. Okay,
yep.
First of all, they're scabs, and I'll spare you the labor rant. But they made a decision that some have moral problems with to cross a line and take away some working people's leverage during a labor dispute. And put that aside, they made a decision to go out on the national stage and do a job that is going to be scrutinized at the highest level and compared to a high standard. So I feel none of their pain. I'm going to criticize them, especially when they take away a victory from one team and give it to another. Secondly, the disclaimer, I do not want to hear people say, stop this bullying! It's not right! Just deal with it! Well, no. First of all, legacies, careers, and where you live and things like that are on the line in these games. Secondly, we know that football players are maniacally competitive. To make it to this level, they've had to draw on that competitiveness, and they intimidate for a living. And as one told me last night, we prey on the weak. Well, they're acting weak because they're tentative and they're scared. And I don't think it's a coincidence to me that the two home teams emerged victorious on the Sunday night.
Exactly.
Yeah. To me, it's not a conspiracy until I see the Facebook pages where the guys and see it. And see
that side judge. That side judge last night was very suspect.
Yeah. You know what? Something tells me we're going to see at least like, you know, a Pearl Jam thing on a Facebook page or something. But you know,
former
let's
Starbucks
say,
employee. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Let's say it's not insidious. It's human nature. You've already shown me that you're tentative and intimidated. I was there on that field, 68,000 screaming fans. It's a gnarly thing. I just think, even if it's not conscious, your human nature is, are we going to overturn that call, or what did you see? Well, I saw them both have it. Looks like a touchdown to me. Looks like the field goal went over.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that all of that is very frustrating to me, and I think people who say, why are they bullying, are just tone deaf when it comes to what football really is. And so I'll rip Bill Belichick for a lot of things, but to me that was Soviet coach in 1972 running on the court to stop the game, because once you let the game finish, you have no chance. And he's thinking, don't leave that field because then I have no shot. And I think Harbaugh trying to get 15 challenges, Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Why would he not?
Why exactly? I mean, if you know you can push them to the place where you're going to get what you need / want, why not?
Yes.
You know, the NFL's not going to come down on you.
Right. I saw Sam Acho of the Cardinals chase Michael Vick out of the pocket. Vick released the ball on 3rd and 9. Tick, tick, tick. Acho's talking to the ref. Acho's emphatically gesturing to the ref. And about 8 seconds later, a flag goes down.
Oh, yeah. There's been a whole lot of that.
Right, and by the way, they marched off a loss of down and 20 yards. I'm still trying to figure out the 20-yard intentional grounding. It must have been a heck of a grounding. But, yeah, there's all of that. And it is so frustrating, you know, even if you don't care who wins, even if you're not gambling, even if you're not playing fantasy, if you just want to see good football at the highest level, it still drives you insane. And, you know, the NFL can win this labor dispute, but they don't have to win 63-0. Maybe they can win 14-12 on a Fail Mary. That's the analogy.
Very nice.
You know, save some face, win tomorrow. And I also don't buy that it takes a long time to get them back on the field. Maybe they won't be there.
No, exactly. That's what everyone keeps saying. Like, it's going to take, if we have the agreement on Tuesday, we're not going to be able to get them on the field on Thursday. Are you crazy?
What would you rather have if you're the NFL? And a bunch of officials on the red eye Saturday night working on Sunday? Or these guys who just worked the Monday night game? I know what I would pick.
And who were fired by the Lingerie Football League? All right.
Boy, there you go. And then we brought it back to lingerie. Hey, Packer Nation, I am so excited about taking my boys and my dad into the Holy Grail or the Holy Sanctum of Lambeau.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And thank you for having me. And I know it's a brutal week. I got some encouraging texts from Charles Woodson today.
There you
who
go.
Was reacting like I thought he would, which is we're gonna use this as a rallying cry, and we're gonna be just fine, and I really believe that.
I don't doubt it for a second. Well, you know, there's a humongous Packer party from all over the world, really. People coming in.
Throwback weekend
next Saturday and Sunday. Throwback weekend. So we will get you some information post haste, and you'll have
all right,
to. You'll have to stop
let
by.
Let me know everything I need to know. You know, my 13 and 10-year-old don't party hard, and really my dad doesn't either. But
I'm working. To initiate. That's our job.
Yeah. I might have to have a spotted cow before I go to the press box.
There you go.
Is one going to really, you know?
I'm not right. Come on, one. Just take a little edge off. All right. Awesome. Mike Silver, thank you so much for joining us. You absolutely rock.
All right. Make sure you get this to me on Twitter at least so I can proliferate.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for stopping by, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Mike Silver.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Yahoo
Mike
Sports.
Silver. That's how we roll.
There you go.
That's what we do, Corey Behnke.
There you go. I can't believe I got that open right. Everybody's mad at us for that open. Go back, DVR the open, because you'll be really mad at me, and I'll be happy about it.
How are you, Corey?
I'm good. Let's do the good, bad, and the ugly.
Wait.
We're waiting.
It's almost time for a break.
What?
So why don't we just take a break and come back and do the second segment and start with the good, bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
All right. That sound good?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right. You're watching/listening to Packer Transplants live on CheeseheadTV.com. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. You are watching/listening to Packer Transplants live.
But now we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Nick the Rookie Perry.
First professional sack.
Cedric picked up on trades. Benson.
Pick up in free agency.
There you go, whatever.
Working it in the second half.
I like him. AJ, my Jersey Hawk.
AJ Hawk playing angry.
And we got the bad. We got Mike McCarthy's game plan.
Seriously, Mike. Come on.
Brian Bulaga.
Getting worked.
And we have the ugly. The NFL.
The NF motherfucking L.
Yeah, you don't need to throw any more F-bombs on this show.
Nope.
You've had your allotment.
I had.
You're the dad here. You're supposed to. All right, here we go.
Do it, Corey.
This should be a zebra Packer man.
Do it, Corey.
It's ridiculous.
Packer man is destroyed.
Oh, man.
All is right with the world. Hey, Packer.
What a day.
Packer Transplants Live. Corey Behnke, how are you?
I literally told my boss, I'm basically getting no work done. I'm going to be on Twitter all day. If you need me, direct message me on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. I will say, Corey Behnke, you have been present in the social media sphere the last couple days. It's been very exciting.
I'm only good on Twitter when I'm talking about the Packers, because that's pretty much all I'm good for.
So, for those of you watching, you'll notice we have some very nice headsets.
We have John Gruden headsets.
These are the exact headsets worn by the crew on ESPN.
And ABC and CBS. Anybody.
Corey just likes to geek us out as much as possible. That's what we do.
I thought I already looked like a big nerd with the...
So why not go all the way?
Why not go all out?
Both. So obviously, big thanks to Mike Silver for joining us. Hopefully he will be there next week at Throwback Weekend.
Mike Silver was awesome.
He was great.
He kind of took the rant out of me, which is good.
No. Come on. I'll get you worked up.
Nah.
I'll get you worked up.
No, do it.
It's all right. I'll do it.
No, but I got something really good for people.
Oh,
I don't
dear.
Know if Here I don't
we
know if
we're so going to get shut down by
I don't
the NFL
know if,
tonight.
We're
so going to get shut down.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
Look at that stare. Look at that stare. Look at that stare.
Oh, Mike McCarthy laying the wood to Wilde. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Look at that stare.
The mustard is off the hot dog.
I was scared when I pulled that clip. I was like, oh, man.
Mike McCarthy was not in the mood for drama.
No, he was not. No more drama. I almost played Mary J. Blige, No More Drama today.
You know what?
In honor of Jason Wilde.
I said last night, I
have
to
make
that my ringtone. That's too good. That's too good to pass
Jason
up.
Wilde killed it with Aaron Rodgers today,
yes,
though. Holy mackerel.
Did.
I almost want to put his animation up, but it says on the phone.
Which he's not.
He just deserves, like, wow. Great interview.
But seriously,
today.
If that you have good. Not heard today's episode, the latest from ESPNMilwaukee.com, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, ESPN Wisconsin, Jason Wilde's Aaron Rodgers interview, and Aaron Rodgers reading the NFL statement on last night's, let's face it, bullshit call, and just shredding it. Rodgers goes line by line and absolutely shreds it. If you have not heard that, go to ESPNMilwaukee.com, find the podcast, and listen, because it's fantastic. And you are correct, sir, Wilde does an amazing job of not being intrusive, but drawing it all out of the QB1.
After you watch that, watch this.
Played out any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever.
I'm not in the mood for drawing tonight, Jason.
Oh, man. Look at that. Look at that stare. He's like, I am not in the mood for that drama tonight. I wasn't in the mood for that drama either, coach.
My goodness. You know what? I've dropped an F-bomb. I've dropped BS. It doesn't matter.
Man.
Aunt Gert, I'm sorry.
Boom, boom,
I'm sorry, boom, boom, Aunt Gert.
Yeah, obviously QB1 killed it. Duh.
You know what?
Somebody's like, QB1 killed it. Really?
You know what?
Yes, he did.
You know what? It doesn't matter.
Because he's QB1, and that's
Since
what he does.
Five, maybe six people watch this show. I say whatever the fuck I want.
Why do you always put your mic down?
Because I don't want to, like, blow anybody's ears out.
The NFL has
I talk loud.
Aaron.
Sir.
The NFL has no integrity.
This is true. Basically, we're watching the XFL at this point. We're watching the XFL with better players. Because you know what? The XFL lacked talent on the field when it came to the product, to the players. But at least it was football. At least the calls made a little sense. Seriously, go back and look at every questionable call last night and then splice that. Juxtapose it with the XFL, with He Hate Me running through the tackles, and you will find a more, I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
A product with more integrity in the XFL. Give me a fucking break. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay, I'm lying. That's not all I'm going to say about that. But that's where I'm going to start.
Oh, man.
No, none. Zero. And at this point,
87,000 retweets of TJ Lang.
TJ Lang throwing down the hammer, telling it like it is. You
want to
talk F-bombs? TJ came back on Twitter today and apologized for the F-bomb. Don't apologize. Don't walk it back. You're fucking right.
You should be pissed, TJ.
I didn't want him to cut it on the field, and I'm pretty sportsmanlike when it comes to the Packers. It's funny because Mike Silver was describing two Packer fans on the, you know, when he's talking about Packer fans?
Yep.
I'm 90% the positive Packer fan he's talking about, right?
Yes.
And only Brett Favre made me go over to the dark side temporarily.
Temporarily. But you're back.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back. And I'm going to get over this, too.
I'm
one
close.
And two.
I'm close.
One and two.
I'm close.
You know what?
I'm
Step
close.
Up. Let's see who we are. Let's not play a first half like we did. That was terrible.
Okay. Can we just address the first half for a second?
Oh, my goodness.
Can we just
please.
Let's just get it out there.
Please.
We're totally. Okay, script.
I don't.
Gone.
Yeah, because.
All right. Let's
can,
talk about.
We've talked
let's
about the,
talk
refs
about
all
the
day.
First half for a second here. All right. All right. We all knew. Everybody who watches football, not just Packers football, football, knows. You go into Seattle, it's loud, they have a really good secondary, they have a ferocious pass rush, which is aided by the noise, by their speed, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And still, Mike McCarthy thought it was a good idea to spread it out with three, with four wide receivers, with three wide receivers and a tight end, but spread out and leave the tackles on an island. Leave it just up to those five guys and Aaron Rodgers to get the ball out of there. When they have the two safeties back. What's the result? Eight sacks.
Wow.
Now, come on. How do you go through the entire first half without making the adjustments? Like, Mike Silver just said that they made, like, one of the all-time great adjustments. They will slow down.
No, they did, though. They did.
At halftime.
At halftime. Had they made that same adjustment by the second
quarter. At the end
quarter,
of the first quarter.
That would have been money.
But that's the thing. Everybody could see it. It didn't take an NFL
expert.
We talked
about this.
It didn't take Bill Walsh to figure out that, hey, we can't block them.
Yeah, but there's this whole thing, right? You get in a mindset. And then you're like, okay, if I change my strategy and now I go short, now I go mid, I go fast, they're going to know I'm going to come out with that.
All right.
And that's what they're doing to themselves, all right. Basically.
All right. Here's my question.
Seriously, they are.
Here's my question. All right. Last year, speaks to the whole Joe Philbin thing. Last year, he doubted Atlanta. If anyone remembers this.
Yeah, I remember it.
The offense struggled out of the gate greatly. Towards the end of the first half, they kind of picked it up prior to halftime, prior to going in to the locker room, regrouping, having your little doo-ha-ha, prior to that. This year, obviously getting owned, obviously playing right into the Seahawks' entire strength on defense, it takes until halftime to go, hey, maybe we should go with two tight ends and a fullback. Hey. They're destroying our franchise quarterback.
No.
I don't know who talks like that, but somebody on the Packers talks like that. So why did it take until halftime to make an adjustment that most of the guys I play on Madden can make during the game?
Yeah, but if you do an online kick
in Madden. Why did it take
until
halftime? When last year it only took, to the end of the first quarter.
If you do an onside kick in Madden every time, you can basically win the game. So I don't like comparisons to Matt.
Okay, whoa. Easy non sequitur, kid. Okay, keep pushing and pulling me. You keep coming closer to you. Now you're going to start pissing me off. You know what? I'm not in the mood for drama, Corey.
Oh.
I'm so pissed. I am so pissed.
Wait.
I can't. Everything is pissing me off.
Road when something like this happens, is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason.
Oh,
dude,
my goodness.
That's so good.
That's
that will never
clip.
Get old.
That
will never get
it
old.
It won't. It's so good. That almost made me happy. That almost made
because
me happy
he,
last
like,
night.
Like, he dropped the facade. It was all like, you know, PC answer, PC answer. Like, I'm upset. Like, but PC, but. And then, like, just drops it and is like, yo, shut the fuck up, Wildy. Like, Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That was great.
Rob Demosky, great. Ty Dunn. Everybody was like, I'm glad that wasn't me.
Oh, dear. All right. I suppose we should get back on script.
Okay.
But
let's talk about the offense. I mean,
I think
ref thing.
All right.
Right?
The ref thing.
Okay. They're in negotiations. It's a crock of crap. Basically, the NFL is screwed this year, and you can put a big asterisk on it, and it's not as bad as the steroid issue in baseball.
They're not.
You need to put an asterisk on the whole season.
They're not to asterisk level yet.
They're there.
No, they're
not.
Dude,
they're there. Everybody was like, oh, it's just got to be a game. A game happened. We won that game. We're 2-1 right now in an alternate reality that – does not exist where we're living right now, but I firmly believe in that alternate reality. I'm living in that alternate reality where we're 2-1.
But I'm just saying, they're not there yet. Two, maybe three more weeks of all of these horrific calls, we will be in asterisk territory, and it will be ugly for the NFL. It'll be just no one will believe in any of the legitimacy of anything that happens for the rest of the year. Can you imagine? Just picture a world where last night's game was a playoff game.
I don't want to live
picture
in that world.
Picture a world where that call at the end of the game was at the end
world.
Of a playoff game.
Nagler, you're penetrating my shield. I don't want to live in that
picture
world.
Picture a world where the NFL puts out a statement the day after a playoff game to tell us that bullshit rules the day.
We need to turn your mic down.
Picture that world, because that's where we're headed, Banky. That's where we're headed. We're headed to a world where the lawyers are telling us who won.
Nagler.
Jeff Pasch and Roger Goodell are telling us the day after a playoff game who won. That's where we're headed.
You're hurting me.
All right.
I really want to take a break after that.
Okay, Corey. I'm fine. I had to get it out. I'm sorry, everyone. I know I'm yelling. The new microphones, I'm not quite sure of how much ridiculousness.
We might have lost that whole segment. But the thing that bothered me that whole time was that literally my anxiety, I thought I was going to pass out. Back to the offense.
All right.
Rodgers' inner clock.
All right. Okay. Rodgers' inner clock. Rodgers' total lack of inner clock. Everyone wants to give the offensive line grief. Well deserved in the first half. But let's slow down. TJ Lang, Josh Sitton tweeting stuff out and people saying, oh, I wouldn't be tweeting anything out if I just gave up 8 sacks. Shut the fuck up. All right. First of all, at least 3 of those sacks are on Rodgers. All right.
Yeah.
A bunch of those sacks are on McCarthy for sending 4, 3, 5 guys 10, 15 yards down the field with no one underneath for him to throw to.
No.
So just shut the fuck up about all that, all right?
It's true.
About all of that. And then we can talk about the offensive line, all right? Let's just go back and look at the tape before we all talk about how horrific the offensive line was. And don't get me wrong, they weren't good. They weren't fun. They weren't inspiring. But it wasn't all their fault. They were hung out to dry by their play caller and by their quarterback. So let's just calm down on the offensive line, all right?
It's true. But.
However.
Cedric Benson.
Looking
good stuff.
Good.
Liking it. There were a lot of positives from that game.
Defense. How about the defense?
The Packer defense was pretty amazing, I felt like, in that game. One touchdown.
Yeah.
But other than that, it wasn't even any drives. It was very shutdown defense.
Right before the end, before the final drive, I think Seattle had 6 plays in the second half.
Wow.
That's 2 3-and-outs, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Or something.
Wow.
But, okay. So the defense. The one thing you got to think about is, they only gave up 1 touchdown, but that was a brutal touchdown. I mean, that was a direct result of old-school football. Pound the football, and then take advantage of your inside linebacker on play action, which they did. A.J. Hawk certainly got burned there. But for most of the night, A.J. Hawk looked like he was playing angry.
Oh, yeah. A.J. Hawk, consistently.
That.
First game, second game, third game, better.
I'm close to saying
the jury has been out.
I'm close to saying this is the best he's ever played.
Whoa. I wish I could say that about Brian Bulaga, but I can't.
Yeah, Bulaga, that's weird. Although, okay, here's the thing. I pointed this out on Twitter last night, and I just want to repeat it here.
You're on Twitter?
Sometimes.
Oh.
Last year, 15-1, offense playing great. Bulaga is probably their best offensive lineman. Maybe after Scott Wells. But he played great, except against speed on the road. That was where he struggled. And, oh, Lordy, last night, did you see him struggling against speed on the road? Obviously, the crowd noise plays into that, but I think Bruce Irvin really surprised him. I don't think he was ready for any of that. No. So, hopefully, he'll get that cleaned up.
Finley had a good
James
game.
Campen. Yeah, what's up with people hate? You know, now you got to get me all riled up again. Just stop with the Finley hate.
Oh,
guy
man.
Makes an amazing catch Finley, on third down.
Yeah.
Amazing catch on third down. And
like
then
it.
The corner makes a great play on the slant play, and everyone's like, oh, that's a Finley drop. Another Finley drop. No, it was a great play by the corner. I'm all for calling out Finley when he drops one, which is right in his hands and in his breadbasket, no one's around, and he drops it. Call him out. More power to you. But when the defender makes a fantastic play and you say, oh, another drop from Phil, shut the fuck up. Oh, and then, and then a little later, Donald Driver drops a touchdown pass and no one says boo. Oh, you win Dancing with the Stars, you get a get out of jail free card.
Of course.
Give me a fucking break. You drop a touchdown. If Driver holds on to that touchdown pass, the whole end of the game doesn't matter. It's totally different. There is no ridiculous last call. The Packers win. But no, I don't see Donald Driver's Twitter blowing up. Oh, but Finley dances after he catches it. Oh, and Donald Driver doesn't shimmy?
He does shimmy.
I love Donald Driver. I love Double D.
Double D.
Don't give me this ridiculous double standard.
No.
Donald Driver dropped a touchdown pass. I haven't seen one word about that all day today. So just relax on the Finley hate, people.
It's like two people trolling you and you're like pissed off about it.
All right.
Dude, he was awesome.
Oh, that was a tough
I thought
catch
he was
for
good.
Driver. Someone, that was a tough. Oh my God. Did he throw it too hard? Donald Driver has caught passes from Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers his entire career.
Oh, my goodness. Donald Driver has caught.
I'm sorry. Was it too hard? Was it too in his hands? I'm sorry.
Donald Driver has caught some amazing catches.
Yes, and he didn't last night.
Passes. Don't take it personally, Nagler.
All right. I'm going to do this because I don't care. I'm going to leave you alone. You talk for a second.
Wait. What's happening?
Tell us about your feelings.
Nagler just left. This is like the best show ever. All right. So I think we need to watch this because it makes me upset. So I'm sorry, but we're going to watch it.
Here's the snap to Wilson. Extends the play, backpedals to the 40. Looking, still waiting. Hit as he lets it go into the left side of the end zone for a jump ball.
Man.
Is it caught?
That's just hurting my feelings right now.
Touchdown!
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
It was caught simultaneously.
All right, you're back, Nagler.
I'm back.
Watch your picture.
I'm going to put my headphones on.
MD Jennings had it, and on the way down, MD Jennings still has it, it appeared.
All right.
All right. There we go.
Woo!
All right, how about let's do
what
some
was that?
Cogent football analysis.
Everybody's so upset about it.
I'm
you
sorry.
Know what?
I had to get a beverage. Dude has a beverage here, man. I had to get a beverage.
Do you know what
I'm
you
sorry.
Just did to Packer fans?
I don't know. I have
you
no idea.
Made them watch that again. That's all your fault.
Did I press play? No. I don't think so.
No, but you made me feel like that, so I had to push the button. Okay, so here we go. This weekend, 0-3 Saints, 2-1 Packers, 1-2 Packers, asterisk mark. What do you think, Nagler? You called the Packers losing, even though the Packers didn't lose. So you were wrong, Nagler.
I know.
Say you're wrong.
I was way wrong.
Who won that game?
The Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
There you go.
Don't even try to Bleacher Report me, son. All right. So what's going to happen this weekend, Nagler?
The Packers. Garda.
Invisible
The Packers Nagler. Are going to win.
There you go.
31-13.
There you go.
That's what it's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
It's going to be a poning.
It is going to be an absolute poning is what it's going to be.
So
Wait. Something in the script here I did want to touch on. Not that we're following the script at all, but okay. I did want to talk about it. How about Casey Hayward and McMillan, the safety? Two rookies.
Oh, yeah.
With a couple of great plays last night. You throw this talent into the mix there in the secondary?
Yeah, the secondary.
And you couple it with a little bit of pass rush.
A little bit of Tremont in there. A little bit of Chucky in there.
Hey, as long as Clay Matthews doesn't get tackled right in front of the quarterback, they should be okay.
Yeah. Nick Perry. This defense is legit this year.
Yes.
People need to be quiet about Dom
Capers. Wait.
Uh-oh.
They look legit.
Don't turn on me, Nick.
Against Jay Cutler, who they always own, and Russell Wilson, who has looked less than inspiring on third downs in the NFL. I mean, there were a couple sacks, including Nick Perry, where he rolled right into the pressure. So it'll be very interesting to see what Drew Brees does to them next week. Although they will only score 13 points because the Packers are going to win 31-13.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Nobody wanted to hear that. Oh, I got something for you, Nagler.
Oh, you got it for me?
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
Boom, 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 boom. That's right, it's the return of This Week in the Packers Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke, this weekend.
That's right.
Finally, it's
Throwback
here.
Weekend. It's here.
Throwback
Speaking
weekend.
Of, got my tickets.
I love how you always bring them, just so you can
you
rub it
them.
In my face.
You gotta have them.
See, literally, he's rubbing it in my face. I'm sure everyone will have a lovely time.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be amazing.
If you are a
Wally Pingle, Kyle Cousineau,
if you
Brian
are a first-time listener/viewer, cheeseheadtv.com in conjunction with pocketdoppler.com holding Throwback Weekend 2, Electric Boogaloo. Make sure you check out the website, which I'm sure will be thrown up on the live blog here at some point. Or just, you know what, if you Google Throwback Weekend. She Said TV,
Throwback Weekend
I'm sure
Twitter.
You'll find it. Please, stop by, have some beer, throw down with Packer fans from all over the world, literally, Saturday into Sunday, right before the game, after the game, during the game.
It's going to be good times.
Cheer the Packers on to victory. Mike Silver, apparently, is going to come.
Mike Silver.
So.
Just confirmed.
And other members
on
of the media. I think Albert Breer from
Breaking
NFL
news.
Network is going to be there.
Breaking news.
So show up, people, because it's going to be, as Corey Behnke likes to say, the hotness.
It will be the hotness.
All right, Behnke. Have I yelled at the people enough?
Yeah, let's do it. And we're going to end with a special treat for you Jason Wilde fans out there.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank our guest, Mike Silver of Yahoo
Mike Silver.
Sports. Not to mention everyone joining us on the
Good
live
times.
Blog. You guys really helped make this the most unique fan experience on the internet. This is why Corey and I are here. We are here for you, Packer fans all over the globe. We are and will always be devoted to Packer fans worldwide. We'll see you soon. We'll see you next week. Have a great night.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason.